I think that Graham is, are you there?
I am back. I was just kicked out. Hello and welcome, everyone, to Heavenly Blessings. Hello, welcome. Thanks for joining us with Linda Dillon, the channel for the Council of Love and author of The Great Awakening. Suzanne Maresca and myself, Graham Duyeh, it's a pleasure to be with you. This is the adventure of working with internet and phones, and when things work, they work great, and when they don't, well, it just adds to the adventure. So this week, we continue our series on the divine qualities with Mary Magdalene, and Kuan Yin is going to join us, and we're going to discuss the quality of beauty, and we invite you to call in with your questions and comments, and give us a call at 323-784-9697. 323-784-9697, and we encourage your participation. Press 1 so Suzanne knows to bring you on. Welcome, Linda and Suzanne. Great to have you back.
Oh, it's great to be back, Graham. Yeah, it's wonderful to be here and a nice sunny day in Florida, although a little brisk.
Well, come on, there's nothing compares to the snow that's falling right now in the mountains of Vermont, but you know, it's all good wherever we are, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
How are you both doing today?
How are you doing, Susie?
I'm great. The sun is shining. The sky is blue. There's no more snow on the ground, and hopefully it'll just stay that way for the rest of my life.
You know, I always, I lived most of my life up north, of course, and I always took my holiday in February, because even though it was the shortest month of the year, it always felt so long, like when would spring come?
Exactly.
So we're through it, it's March.
Yeah, that's right.
And spring is on its way, and we have daylight savings time changing on the East Coast here soon, actually throughout much of the U.S., and the days are brighter and longer, and the two of you on the East Coast as well have sun. I don't quite have it up here, so send some up this way, okay?
Okay, sure.
Lots of good stuff in the air and lots to be grateful and thankful for. Linda, how would you like to start today? You have a couple of guests who would like to talk about our topic.
Well, it was so funny, as you both know, last week when we were talking with St. Teresa about purity, and then we chatted after the show about this week's show, and even prior to the show, Mary Magdalene had been very clear that she was the one that wanted to come forward and speak about beauty. And, of course, I love Mary Magdalene, as I know many of our listeners do. But it was, I guess, about midweek where Kuan Yin started to make her presence known. And Kuan Yin has always introduced herself to me as in this way. You know, there's always consistency in terms of how the guides or the masters talk to us. But she always says to me, "There is nothing more beautiful than the goddess riding the dragon." So I think she has some opinions about beauty and strength. So what I thought we'd do do a little meditation. The colors of beauty are magenta and silver. And then we could move in. And I think Kuan Yin has a few words of welcome that she wants to share with the listeners. And then we can move on to Mary Magdalene. But it's interesting, you know, because it's, again, it's this blending of East and West. And, of course, both of these wonderful beings who carry the energy of, you know, the divine feminine are very emphatic when they're talking about beauty, that it's not just the state of being beautiful. It really is the ability to be in beauty in all realms, all physicalities, emotional, spiritual, but also to create beauty and to see beauty and to find beauty in everything. Mm-hmm. So I know when I was meditating this morning, it was, well, it was both of them. And they're saying, you know, beauty can never be about competition. You don't see the flowers competing to see who's the most beautiful. They just both stand there and allow you to gaze at their beauty.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So shall we begin then with a meditation?
Sounds great.
Okay. So everybody relax. It's Tuesday morning. And take a nice deep breath in through your nose, down into your heart, letting go of the day, letting go of everything that needs to be done this week, letting go of your to-do list, sinking into your chair, your sofa, your bed, your car seat, and just allowing yourself this time not only for the ascended ones, but for you. And breathe out all the debris, all the mental and emotional and spiritual trash that we pick up or that we carry inadvertently. Just let it go. No analyzing, never any judgment. Just letting go of any burdens that you may have assumed over the last week. The colors of beauty. And for you to be in that perfect state of beauty are magenta, which is that perfect balance of red and blue, and silver. And that's an unusual combination. So let's start by opening our crowns. Feel that lotus blossom on your head, that soft spot of the baby's head, wide open, opening to your beautiful central channel. And silver is also the ray of Archangel Uriel. It's the ray of clarity and the ability to see in darkest places. So I want you to picture, visualize, perceive, however you do this, and don't judge it. See coming down from the heart of one, this beautiful, pure, bright, shiny, silver ray, like the flash of a blade of an ice skate, coming down through the central sun, through your upper chakras, through the lavender and lilac, into your violet crown, filling your head with this beautiful crystal silver, like an icicle when the sun hits it and it's dripping. And breathe silver and feel that ray fill your head, activate your pituitary, your pineal, your hypothalamus, and your third eye, and your fourth eye. Because it's important that we not only feel beauty, but we also see and recognize it in all things, including ourselves. Now bring it down into your throat and clear your throat so that it again is that beautiful icicle, crystal, shining, silver glints, so that your center for change, your whole esophagus, your whole windpipe is open and ready to embrace change, to embrace ascension, and to embrace your own beauty. Down into your heart. And see that silver flame dancing with your tri-flame, expanding and evening it out, and bring it into your solar plexus, your halion, and your sacral. Bring it into the orange and see the silver and orange dancing together. These sparks of silver flying everywhere. Down through your pubic to your root. Down to Mother Gaia. And take the silver from the oceans, from those droplets of water, the silver, the flash of skin on a tuna or a bass, silver of the whales, the dolphins, and of the council fire of Gaia, and bring that up into your heart as well. Now, staying in your heart, go to your third eye, the middle of your forehead, and touch it with your finger, and do a circular movement while you breathe magenta, very gently. And feel the aperture of that chakra, of that camera lens opening wider and wider. And taste the magenta. That taste of port or red wine, of rich grapes. And breathe the smell of the vineyard. And rich plum. And through your nose and through your breath, bring that magenta into your heart as well. And feel the growth of the compassion, the anchoring, that balance. And open your heart to receive beauty, like all the divine qualities, like the 13 blessings and virtues, are infinite and eternal, and they can expand infinitely. So today, together, we expand our understanding of beauty, our holding of beauty, and of our ability to accept and cherish ourselves as vessels of beauty. Greetings, I am Kuan Yin.
Welcome.
And welcome to you, dear sire. I am goddess of compassion. But as I say to this channel so often, is there anything more beautiful than this goddess riding the dragon? Well, I invite you this day to ride the dragon with me. It is not an imaginary creature. It is a creature of power and fire, of movement, and might I even say destiny. But the reason that I speak so often to this channel and now through the blessings of this media to each of you, in beauty there is strength, there is power, there is nobility, there is sensitivity and the ability to rise above, because you know the dragon flies. But it is also the ability to transmute, to cleanse. Too often in every society, in every race, beauty has been seen in a very narrow way, and it certainly does not embody the divine quality of beauty. Beauty is not simply what sits on your face or your skin or upon the rack of your body. Beauty is everything and everywhere. And I say to you, there is nothing more beautiful than my dragon, for it is strong and brave, courageous, and willing to go forth. And in order to do that, you must have the strength of balance, of harmony, within and without. It is not simply an outer commodity to be traded. And in fact, in so many ways, particularly with the situation of the feminine, the woman, that beauty has in fact resulted in lack of power. Well, you say, oh no, sweet goddess, mother, it is not so, for are they not given great favor? But they are given favor not for their core, but simply how they choose to present in a time and place that is not of reality. And what it does so often is it disempowers, and it disempowers not only the individual, but the collective. All, the most ordinary to the most, what you would call deformed, to the most lovely, all carry the essence of beauty. And that sense of what is truly beautiful, it is time to resurrect it. And it is time with dragon breath to eradicate the false illusions of beauty. Beauty is in everything you behold on your planet, this wondrous Gaia. And it is a failure of some to see that. And I am not simply speaking of the majestic peaks and gracious valleys, the mighty rivers. I speak of buildings. I speak of old men huddled under garbage cans, trying to stay warm. I speak of children who believe they are young men, flashing their knives. You see, they have forgotten that they are the holders of beauty and that they contribute to the beauty of the planet and to the collective. So who reminds them? Other than I and the Magdalena, who reminds these ones who embrace what they believe is the ugliness of their soul, their desperation? Who reminds them that they are of the beauty? Now, I am not suggesting to you that those who are in pain and suffering and committing heinous acts are in harmony. They are not. But until they are reminded that they are a mirror of God's creation, that there is only one source, and it is perfection, then they continue in their way of illusion. Each of you are my envoys and my mirror. And it is up to you, my beloved ones, to show them the beauty of their being, to remind them of their inner, their outer, their within and their without beauty, and their strength. Their strength to claim beauty, to create beauty, and to be beauty. This I leave you with as I step aside for the Magdalena.
Lanyin, I have a question.
Yes.
Could you please speak to, well, you spoke of beauty incorporating strength and nobility, bravery, courage, and you spoke to the importance to have harmony within and without. Can you speak to those who are listening who are men and may not have considered beauty to be part of their thought process when they think of what it means to be masculine?
Oh, there is nothing more beautiful than the masculine. They are as equally beautiful as the mountains of Switzerland, the Nile, and the woman, the divine feminine. And there has been, it is ironic, I am glad you request this, because there is a disconnect here between beauty and power, and a misunderstanding that beauty is not power, and vice versa. Because the divine masculine thinks of action and movement, when in fact, if you look at the way the universe is structured, The divine masculine is still, quiet, infinite, and is held in adoration. Well, why is that adoration there? It is because of the beauty. Most men like to think of themselves as strong, as good-looking, as handsome. And they do not always look within, because beauty is also sensitive. You cannot be a bestower, a creator, or a holder of beauty and not be aware of beauty all around you. And what that implies is you are sensitive. And whether it is a magnificent river or a skyscraper or the cheek of a child, you have need to have let bravado go and to truly be in the truth of who you are. There have been times in various cultures, think of Greece and Rome, when it was the male form that was considered the essence of beauty and strength and nobility. So it is not an either or. It is both. So it is more important because of the ignoring of the beauty for the masculine to now embrace the beauty, not externally, but also internally. To see the beauty of your eyes, of your thoughts, of your skin, of your hair, of your nails, of your work. It is all around you. And if you need higher perspective, come with me. I invite you upon my dragon. I will show you. And there has never been a male that I have invited to ride my dragon who has refused.
Thank you for speaking to that.
Go in beauty, my dear friends. I step aside.
Thank you. Farewell.
I am the Magdalena.
Welcome.
Welcome. I am Mary. I am Mary. Welcome to you, my brothers and sisters of the journey. And yes, the journey has been long. But when you put aside, oh, the ups and downs, the minutiae, has it not been beautiful? When I have walked the world, I was known as a great beauty in the physical sense. And there were times when that troubled me. and caused me difficulty. And I wondered why I had chosen, actually, to incarnate in such a way. Because from very early on, I was in training and on a spiritual path, and a path that men and women might call a path of beauty, but that I call a path of service. There were many who liked to criticize me, and who thought that I had seduced Yeshua, my beloved husband, with my outer beauty. That simply was never the truth. Just as it was not truth of many of the stories that were told, many quite insulting. It did not matter. When we first encountered one another, and Lear Graham, this speaks to your question of the goddess about masculine beauty. When Yeshua and I first encountered one another, we instantaneously recognized the beauty within, the beauty of our soul, and the beauty of our eternal connection, and the soul agreement that we had formulated for that life. And we endeavored together to create beauty in everything we did. The most precious being the creation of family, the creation of children. But it was like a reminder or a subtle joke between the two of us when we would venture out, when we would be in public, because one of the roles, you may not know this, one of my roles was always as the creator or the holder, the bringer of much of ritual, of the creation of ceremony. Now, as you know, much of the work we did was on the fly. And we would look at each other and we would say, well, where is the beauty? And then we would gaze into the eyes and hearts of those gathered, and we would see the beauty. We would see the harmony. And even if there were those who had come to be naysayers, to be harassment elements, very often the entrainment of the crowd would change them and bring them to that place of harmony and beauty. For frankly, it was very difficult to be in the presence of Yeshua and not to feel that sense of beauty and of balance of all realms. always a channel. And so when we engaged and embraced each other, it was as natural as breathing that we communicated telepathically, even when he was many miles away. And it was in this way that the bond was maintained and is maintained to this very day. What you are here for on this magnificent, beautiful planet Gaia is to experience a life of beauty. It is so simple, is it not? So straightforward. But if you do not see and embrace the beauty in every moment, not just now and then it is not a beautiful life, and therefore it is not a life of joy. It is not a life that makes your heart sing. And even in what you think of as the most hard and horrendous moments, yes, such as the death of a loved one, the beauty of your love continues. It does not dissipate, it does not disappear. And then you may see it in the clouds or in the waving grass of wheat fields or in the sand or the stones of Galilee. But always return to your inner beauty. You have been birthed directly from the heart of the mother, and you carry her essence and her beauty in every way, even more than you can even imagine. So if you say, I am not beautiful, then you are denying your divine essence. And that is not truth, and it is certainly not acceptance, and it certainly is not allowance and unity. And it freezes you in a false belief system. Do not do that. Now, my beloved friends, where do you wish to begin today?
One of the things that I resonate with among many when you're talking about beauty is the connection that you had and have, the sacred partnership you have with Yeshua. And the beauty that comes to me is the beauty in relationships generally, where the connection with others is very solid, that the connection is open-hearted, is vulnerable, is sacred in all forms. And I'm thinking about all relationships. Can you speak to, certainly every time you talk about your relationship with Yeshua, I want to hear more, and I'm sure our listeners do too, but can you speak more about what we can envision and anticipate with relationships generally, what they look like, what they feel like, the quality of relationships with Nova Earth, please?
I would be happy to. Now you know that you have anchored fully and completely into the fifth dimension and into the realm with Gaia, where relationships tend to take on new meaning because they are not, yes, dragged down, impeded, hindered by the old illusions. And this is one of the things that our beloved Kuan Yin was speaking of, is that so often in the past, in the old third, equality was often not present in relationship. There was elements of control or lust or greed or denial. It matters not. That is very close to ancient history now. What is happening with you, my beloved friends, is freedom. That is what people objected to so strenuously between Yeshua and I, is that we claimed absolutely our freedom to engage in true love, in sacred union and partnership. And what that is the ability to step forward and to allow someone to truly see you, to see your beauty, to see what you think, and I use the word think, as your shadow self, what you judge as your shortcomings, which may be, in fact, some of the sweetest aspects that you carry. That is why there is no room for judgment. But in union, it is not just the ability to lay yourself vulnerable and allow someone to see who you are. It is also the ability to see. Because you can say, well, I am in a sacred union. I have opened myself. But if you have opened yourself but have not done the balancing part of it and looked at who you are truly conjoining, yes, conjoining with, and if you are not having that ongoing wondrous conversation, as Yeshua and I did, about the creation of beauty, the creation of family, the creation of love, the creation of community. Use these words interchangeably. Now, there have been many new paradigms of family that have emerged over, the last 50 years. And that was important because it began to break those paradigms of power and control. But what I say to thee, in a Nova relationship, there is not the hesitation, not in a true relationship, that I will be with you until it is no longer convenient or until I feel like I'm not growing. If you stop growing, dear heart, it is your own decision and your own issue, not your partner's. And that is important to recognize. Now, I am talking about genuine sacred union. Not simply what is in existence in many situations. It is the commitment, it is the heart, soul, mind, body commitment that we go forward in this union as one. So there is no breaking. And you both stand equally strong, equally resilient, equally powerful. Because each of you brings to the relationship your own sacred attributes, your own qualities, your own history of magic. So sacred unions are not undertaken or released casually. They are a bond. They are a bond of light between two hearts and souls that lasts forever. And that is why so often, and I am not saying your sacred union person is your twin, sometimes it may be, but that is unusual. But when you have been in truly sacred union, that is why you incarnate with that person in various forms again and again and again, and why they are so familiar, and why you say, how do? I trust you. I cherish you. I want to be with you. It is the physical embodiment of beauty. It is precious. Beyond measure.
Really appreciate you speaking to that. You're about to say something else. Go ahead.
And you also have that with your children. Go forward.
That level of the quality that you speak of, and I really like how you spoke of a bond of light between two hearts and souls that lasts forever. And you're of course speaking to sacred union, sacred partnership, our children. And as I think about the higher dimension, the new paradigm where the theme is love and peace, I'm also thinking about the quality of relationships that extend further than that. So our family, immediate and extended friends, neighbors, communities, provinces, countries, the global unit, the multiverse, and the quality of relationships where all relationships can be viewed as a bond of light between hearts and souls. Am I thinking accurately in that? Am I envisioning that correctly? Because in the higher dimension, if there is peace and love, that quality, that experience can be felt with the gas attendant, with the store clerk, with the neighbor, with country leaders across the world. Is that not right?
Always it was intended this way. Always. So you are absolutely correct. Do you not sometimes go to the gas store and you end up chatting and truly liking and connecting with the attendant or cashier?
Mm-hmm.
And that is a heart connection. It is the acknowledgement, heart to heart, person to person, personality to personality, that I acknowledge you, I see you, I honor you. It is not based on a old-fashioned paradigm power structure. It is based on seeing and embracing. Similarly, there are times, and they will be increasingly so, where you will meet the leaders of countries, of nations. You do not bow down. You do not stand in awe. Yes, you chat. You embrace. First comes the acknowledgement. Then comes the ability to have conversation that is meaningful. It is not the other way around, and that is where the human beings so often make the mistake.
So that is what we have to look forward to, the quality of relationships generally throughout the multiverse.
Yes.
Can I ask a clarifying question? You mentioned that we are moving into the higher dimensions with Gaia. I think you said we are in the fifth dimension with Gaia. Are you saying that we are fully anchored in the fifth dimension now with Gaia?
Your hands may be free-floating, sweet one. But your feet are firmly planted in the fifth.
So Gaia and her inhabitants are anchored in the fifth.
That is correct.
And to what extent are humans still connected to the old third?
You are still doing some cleanup. You are still letting go of your false grids, the old illusions. Think of it as if you have magnetized boots on and you are magnetized to and standing with Gaia in the fifth, as if you are in some kind of space shuttle, and you are reaching sometimes upside down into the third, but more and more you are not. You are upright. And you are clearly in the fifth.
Gotcha. Thanks for speaking to that. I'd like to bring on Gordon from the UK. Thanks for waiting, Gordon. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, hello there.
Hello. What's your question or comment?
Sorry, I've got a bit of echo there. Hang on a second. Hi, can you hear me now?
I sure can. Can you hear me okay?
You're a little faint, so I might have to ask you to repeat yourself if you ask me a question.
What's your question or comment?
Okay, I've been keeping up to date on the website, you know, for a few minutes each morning, Golden Age of Gaia website, and I read something recently with Archangel Michael, I think it was, informing us that disclosure is soon, and I've been prepared very recently, very rapidly, over a sudden awakening, which was always meant to happen. After reading about the age of Aquarius 25 years ago, trying to persuade my friends that I really believed in this and they ought to look more closely, nobody got on board and I fell asleep again. And then I met somebody just in time, as it would happen, 3 or 4 weeks before the 21st. And they reawoke me and explained what it was, very spiritual lady. And we're now very close as individuals, as friends. And an awful lot's happened to me since then. I've been cleansed. I think you may call it that. I call it cleansed. Very intensely over 4 or 5 occasions, twice. Once in front of somebody and once almost in front of somebody. I had to run away because I felt what was going to happen to me was going to be a bit scary, so I had to go and hide in a cubicle and went through all sorts of vibrationary experiences that were very physical. Now I feel I've started speaking to people, and I've made a spectacle of myself, fallen out with my family over it at Christmas, got back in tune with my family. That was always meant to happen. I needed to reassert myself in the family structure for the next stage. I believe that's what's happened. And so I'm waiting for the next episode in terms of how I'm going to be used. I feel I'm a light bearer, And I always have done subliminally, but now it's all coming to the fore. And this reading that I had of Archangel, Michael, I think it was, telling us that disclosure is coming soon, sort of sat with me comfortably. Well, that's when I and people like me will be prepared to start communicating with something to back it up with, if you like, something in the above-the-line media for confused people to be able to connect to what I've already been saying, for it to link up and start to make sense to them, because at the moment it feels like it's going to be an impossible task to get all my friends and family on this level of this complete change in their existence, their being, the reason for their living, the fact that they can love, that love is free, that it's the meaning, that it's the reason we're all here. I mean, it just seems like a huge task, one that I cannot shun. And I suppose I'm looking for a sign, and my question is disclosure that time when I can really feel confident going forward in speaking to as many people as I possibly can?
Great question.
Let us speak of this. Now, I do not present myself as an agent of disclosure, let me be very clear of that. But what I also speak of, beauty, whether it is beauty in the humans, beauty in your star brothers and sisters, beauty in the atmosphere, beauty in the earth, love, these are always eternal topics of conversation that are not dependent. And we have had this conversation on CCC, Arcturus, Andromeda, Pleiadian, Sirius, and our Earth. It is not determined by disclosure or by anything other than the willingness to truly embrace love. As your vibrations are raising, they are becoming of such a nature that the presence of your star brothers and sisters is simply fact. So it is already well underway. But what you are doing, my beloved friend, in speaking the truth of beauty and love, you are raising the vibration for those who are still stuck in the old third, in the show me paradigm. And you are saying, yes, you will have your signs, but in the meantime, let us speak and practice and be the embodiment of freedom. Because that is what is real. And that is what is meaningful. When Yeshua and I walked the earth, we used our feet. Sometimes a donkey. But mostly we walked so that the pace would connect us with Gaia and those who wanted to speak with us. The pace of beauty is the pace of love. It allows for that connection to happen. If anything, it is not about speeding spaceships. It is about slowing down. Your societies are moving so rapidly that you are not creating the time and space for beauty and freedom. Your priorities of what is important is askew. So trust your heart and speak the truth. You will have your signs, but it is not a matter of waiting for the signs. I hope this is clear.
Sure. Thank you very much. I thought that maybe I thought that I preconceived a fairly similar answer. So, but I certainly am pleased to have received your response along those lines. I have no choice but to continue, and I'll just have to carry on as best as I feel I can.
You are doing magnificently. Do not doubt yourself.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Gordon, I would just add, for me, it's been so key to stay in the peace and the calm, and it's certainly a practice of patience, isn't it? And holding the vision for what you want for your life and for the world. But patience, fortitude, prudence, those things that we've been discussing on the show here, I think are key attributes during this time. And disclosure will come, and the unfoldment of everything that we've been envisioning and talking about, it's happening now, and it will happen more and more. Mm-hmm. Such a great question. Thank you very much for your call today.
No, thank you very much. And you've really helped me with your website. It's been truly revolutionary for me, and I'm very grateful. So thank you.
Outstanding. Terrific. Okay, please call in again.
Will do. Take care.
Take care. Suzanne, how about I bring you on? You have a question.
Hi. Mary, thank you for speaking to us this way, and welcome. I actually have a comment and then a question. So my comment is kind of a question, I guess, but if we see beauty outside of us, is it not a reflection of what's inside of us? As in, would we even be able to perceive the beauty around us if it wasn't already inside of us?
You absolutely are correct. It is an outer reflection of your inner reality. It is the law, the universal law of within and without, above and below.
Beautiful. Okay, so this other one is kind of a spontaneous one because I just had a caller in the switchboard who he didn't even know what channeling was, or he was pretending, actually. I need to find out how to see the beauty in this person because he was attacking us for even believing in channeling and channeled messages, and how could we do such a thing if we're Christians, and he was recording our conversation without my permission, and it threw me off a little bit, and I would just like some guidance on how to see the beauty in this particular kind of person.
And this is exactly what I am speaking of when I tell you that sometimes you are upside down, reaching back into the third. This is a person that has lost their sense of their own inner beauty, their own sense of harmony. Because if you are in harmony within yourself, just like you cannot see beauty outside of yourself if it is not within, if you are not in harmony, then you do not see the harmony outside. So this is a person in a very discordant energy. But sweet angel, the fact that this one is reaching out to a light show, and particularly to one like me, who he probably thinks of as harlot and sinner, see the humor in it, and see the lost child.
Yes. Yes, there seemed to be anger behind it, and he told me he was recording it for his own show on Blog Talk Radio and his own listeners without permission. So he's attacking us for not being Christians, and his actions are not very Christian. So
they are not of love. But what you have to do, yes, very rarely will I say have to. Send him love. Send him the beauty so that he begins to acknowledge his beauty within. So often, there were those who believed I had the ear of Yeshua. That I would unduly influence him.
Mm.
And that I would mislead him somehow. Well, is it not the same today with this caller believing that somehow I am misleading Jesus?
Mm.
How could I ever do that? This one is the light of the world. It is not my desire or place. So you have to think he is thinking that he has to be told what to believe,
right,
how to behave, where beauty lies. But it lies everywhere. And when you are clear on your own freedom and harmony and beauty, then you reflect it back. And you are not afraid of someone dimming your light or stealing your light. All you want to do is share it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So let us bless him.
Yes. Yes. Bless you, Matthew. Okay, if I can ask a question, please, about something that Graham had brought up before about relationships and our, you know, our intimate relationships, our love relationships with a significant other. So in terms of there being one other person that we are in relationship with in a closer way than that we are with everyone, as in like we're in love with everyone, but there's one other person that we know always has our back. I'm not sure how to make that distinction.
And that is a good thing. Because you are in the unified field of existence.
Right.
Where you are headed, what the plan is, can you imagine when you feel that every single person, let alone star brother or sister, bear, tiger, elephant, every person on the planet has your back?
Mm-hmm.
But within that, because you are still within a physical reality, albeit it is expanded much further than you can think of right now, there is still one that holds that special thought, that place that you cook, you clean, you laugh, you play, simply in ways that are such of a heart link and light that it is a choice. This is the person that I choose to create with. But it is also expanded to family, to friends, to circle. But the sacred union is when the sun goes down and you are lying deep within the night, that there is one that you choose, and it is a choice always, to match the rhythm of your breath, your heartbeats, and the merger of your field.
Hmm.
Because this is a representation of your twin flame.
And that makes me wonder if I haven't had evidence in my life that that's possible for me, so I'm wondering if I have to wait for the shift to to, you know, our full shift, not just have our feet anchored, but have our whole selves be in fifth and higher dimensions, I feel like I personally won't be in relationship until that shift happens. I don't even think it's possible for me.
And that is because you have made that choice. So where you have said, let us say that you are very much, you are like Kuan Yin, and you are riding the dragon. Now this is beautiful, because what you are doing is you are breaking the paradigms. You are setting new paradigms. And you have said, I will wait for this because there are other issues and areas where I wish to focus my attention that are more important to me right now.
Exactly.
There are no rights and wrongs. That is polarity duality.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a requirement. It is not a pass-fail that you need to be in sacred union. But what we say is as this shift increasingly takes place, it is a choice that has never been as clear or as full. Now, I am not suggesting, because I have experienced it long ago, and still today, that there are not those on earth who have had this wondrous gift, but many have not.
Well, I'm so happy to hear that. I was hoping that there wasn't something wrong with me, that I wasn't, you know, experiencing that with anyone. And of course, you're exactly right that my focus is elsewhere. At this time,
dear heart, your beauty shines brightly within and without. You are simply riding the dragon with your sword and shield. You are very much a crusader. You always have been.
Love that. Thank you so much. Well, I better go get to the switchboard because there's other callers here. So thank you so much, Mary. I love you with all my heart. Mwah.
And I love you, dear heart.
Mm.
Farewell.
Farewell.
Mary, we know that what we focus on grows, and I wanted to just draw out the importance of seeing the beauty here and now. And as we focus on the beauty and see the beauty and acknowledge the beauty in everything and everyone right here and now, that just keeps building and building. And that's the active co-creative process of anchoring in this new world. Is that right?
That is absolutely correct. You cannot say, oh, when I arrive in the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, then I will see the beauty. No, it is seeing it today. It is seeing it in your home, in your family, in your community, in everything.
Yes, indeed. And that just continues to grow and grow. It's like the love. When we feel the love and we focus on the love, we let the love build, it just keeps growing and growing.
That is correct.
And I think it's also helpful to have a sense of what we can envision for the world. We've talked about relationships today. We've talked about the physical, some of the physical attributes of Gaia. But can you, as we start to wrap up today's show, and I would like to try to bring on some callers, although we only have a few minutes left, can you paint a picture for us what the new Earth looks like? I mean, that's a big question, but what is it, do you think, that we need to hear today around that, that we can get excited about?
You see, so often, and it is highlighted by our dear friend, from England. When we speak of Nova Earth, what we speak of so often are the divine qualities, the blessings and virtues. They are not racy, they are not glamorous. They are eternal and infinite and so exciting, you cannot believe it. But sometimes there is a situation where the cart is definitely going in front of the horse. Nova Earth is a place of peace. First and foremost. And that does not simply mean no more war. It means the allocation of resources to what you value. It means the allocation of energies to what is dear. It is the choice of what to create in terms of purity, in terms of grace, in terms of fairness and equality. It is all of these things. It is a society worldwide that is based on justice and fairness so that none are hungry. None are left disempowered. Are there many things that attract attentions, such as abundance and star technology and back and forthing with your star brothers and sisters and healing ships and information beyond what you can imagine? Yes. But the foundation is peace within, love within. Just as we have said to you time and time again, the ticket to ascension is love. It was not a passport or a ticket to an amusement park. It was not money or fame or glory. It is love. And when you have love, there is peace within your heart, no matter what is happening externally. That is what harmony truly is. It is the ability to see beauty in everything, even in what some may say is horrid and awful and tragic. And out of that comes lasting, eternal peace, where people do not kill and maim, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, hurt each other. The rest follows. The cities of light follow and come because they are places of peace, of creation, of music, of portals for your star brothers and sisters, of healing, of art, of culture, of communication. But all of this is fallout from a change of heart, from shifting out of the ego and the old paradigms that have plagued Gaia to the reality of love, so that that is the most important. And you say, but what will happen if people simply say it is beautiful and it is love? They may be slaughtered. And what we are saying is the power of love is stronger than swords and bombs. It will wield, because love is in alignment with will. And when you bring those two together, then you are truly creating a new world, So before you think of destruction, think of feeding everybody. Think of sheltering everybody. Look to what we paid attention to. It wasn't conquering Rome. Rome took care of itself, and you saw what happened. What we cared about was taking care of people, regardless of race or religion, so that they were knowing fully and completely how much they were loved and valued, that they were cherished, whether it was the emperor or simply the shepherd.
That, everything you say, everything you share, is beauty. Wonderful. Thank you so much for speaking to that. I'd like to bring on another caller, and if we have time, one more caller. We have some callers that have come onto the show late. So, folks, I'll do my best to bring you on. Let's try to be as concise as we can. Jeff from the UK, welcome. What's your question or comment today?
Hello, yes. I've recently been diagnosed as bipolar, and I'm now fairly stable. I still have negative thoughts about people and my situation. I wondered if Mary could show me or give me some insight into the pathway to beauty so that I may think in a more lighter vein. Would she be able to help?
Great question.
I would be delighted to help, my sweet angel. And also know that as you transcend the old reality, this dis-ease will go. But what I ask of thee, you are highly, you particularly, are highly cued, shall we say, by the visual. So surround yourself and go out of your way to find the beauty every day. So whether it is pictures of nature, of incredible art, if it is wandering through a museum, staring at a beautiful portrait or person, and then this is what I ask of thee. Stare at yourself in the mirror and see the bright angel, the beauty that you are, that you have always been. Practice love and beauty. So give yourself, today I will rearrange my thoughts consciously 3 times. So when the negative thought enters, call me and say, show me the beauty, and I will help you.
Thank you.
And that will grow and shift and anchor. That is how I will assist thee.
Thank you.
Wonderful question, Jeff. Thanks for
Thank
coming
you very
on.
Much. That is very, very relevant. Thank you so much. Beautiful.
Terrific. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Well, we only have a few minutes left, and I apologize to those of you that wanted to come on and also share comments and questions. Please do call again. We are needing to wrap up the show. Mary, this has been delightful. With the few minutes that we have left, what else would you like to say as we wrap up our discussion about, at least for now, about beauty?
Beauty is eternal. And you notice that in nature. At the oldest, most majestic trees, the mountains, the rivers, the beauty of the mother, of your mother and mine, is eternal. But also know, and I speak to all of you, there are also seasons of beauty. And I want you to think of yourself in this way. What season are you in? No, it is not a matter of the equinox or the moon. Where are you, my beloved ones? Are you in the springtime? So many of you who are ascending are. See the beauty of your rebirth, just like the buds pushing through the earth, that gentle green demanding to be reborn. Perhaps you are in the cycle of the winter, and you think, my beauty has gone. Age has taken my beauty. There is no such thing, you know. It is eternal. So see the beauty of the barren tree. See the beauty of the snow, of the gray water cold against the rocks, of the winter sky, and embrace that beauty of who you are and where you are each and every day. Do not hesitate and celebrate your beauty. Embrace your beauty, and in so doing, you will embrace the beauty of Gaia and of each other. Go in peace. Farewell.
Thank you, dear Mary. Farewell. Thank you.